Lecture 6, Family Life and Symphony No. 5.
We return to great masters, Mahler, his life and music. This is Lecture 6, entitled Family Life and Symphony No. 5. The years from 1902 to 1907 were, for all of their ups and downs, the best years of Mahler's life. On the home front, everything was in place. He had a young, loving wife, and the closest thing to domestic tranquility he would ever experience. For starters, Alma managed to pay off the staggering debt, about 50,000 Austrian crowns, that Mahler had accumulated. Well, actually, Mahler himself spent almost nothing beyond the expenses he'd incur in having his music performed. Truly, it was Mahler's brothers and sisters, with Justine in the lead, who had rung up extraordinary debts, for which Mahler, as the only consistent bread earner in the family, was responsible. Alma recalled Justine's financial irresponsibility, and I quote, "Once, when I took Justine to task for her wild extravagance, she replied, 'Well, if the worst had come to worst, I would have gone begging with him from door to door,'" unquote. Yeah, nothing like sound financial planning. And by late 1902, Mahler had a family. On November 3rd, 1902, Alma gave birth to their first child, a daughter, Alma recalled. "During my labor, which was long and difficult, I could hear him raging up and down in the next room, waiting in a frenzy of anxiety for the end of this frightful delivery. When at last it was over, he cried out, 'How can people take the responsibility of such suffering and keep on begetting children?' He was crying hard when he came to my bedside, and when I told him that it had been a breech birth, he laughed uncontrollably. 'That's my child, showing the world straight off the part it deserves.' He loved this child beyond measure from the first day. She was christened Maria after his mother." The Mahlers' second child was born on June 15th, 1904. Again, Alma's memory of the event is just too good not to tell. And I quote, "It was 5 o'clock by now, and the contractions were severe. Mahler put on his clothes and hurried out to fetch the midwife, and then did all he could think of to mitigate my pain. But the best he could think of was reading Kant out loud. I sat at his writing table and writhed in agony. The monotonous drone of his voice drove me crazy. I could not understand a word he read, and at last I could bear it no longer," unquote. Alma gave birth to another daughter. She was named Anna. We can only hope that the circumstances of her birth did not result in a lifelong aversion to Kant. These years, 1902 to 1907, also saw the completion of Mahler's summer house in Meiernig on Lake Werther, or the Werther Sea, an absolutely gorgeous spot that would be Mahler's home away from home for 6 years. He composed in a small hut built on a hill in the forest directly behind the house. It was there that he composed the bulk of his 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th symphonies, as well as the Kindertotenlieder. More about these songs on the deaths of children in just a moment. The anecdotes that have come down to us from these good times are many. Just a couple of more, please, before we jump into the music of these years. Alma tells us that, quote, "Mahler was extremely susceptible to suggestion. If I had a pain anywhere, he immediately had it too. He was also as credulous as a child in matters of medicine and health, and never had the slightest idea of what did him good. He believed in any cure whoever recommended it, and he never missed the chance to buy a new medication. Our large dining table could scarcely contain all the medications he had collected. His sister once recommended unleavened bread, and it was sent to us every 3 or 4 days. I, of course, had to eat it too, and it lay like lead in my stomach. I endured in silence, but one day I had spasms and could think of no cause but this bread. Mahler was overjoyed. He jumped up and cried, 'You can't bear it either? Thank God for that. It's been giving me hell for the last week. We won't eat another piece of it.' It was often like that," unquote.